Luke 2. Verse 20. And the shepherds returned, as we saw that the word, that's the word that means converted, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Heard is akouo, which means to hear and understand. And seen is eido, which means it's to see and to understand. Both of them have to do with seeing and or hearing and understanding. Let's go to a couple places. Let's go to Matthew 11. Let's start in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if he will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, everything in the scriptures, from the Old Testament on, it's what you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. And it's always that order. You hear, you see, and then you do. But the doing, though, is not figuring out something to do. The doing is to continue in that place, only beholding this mystery. And so that's why throughout the scriptures it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now who has ears to hear? Let's go to John, 1 John 5.
Are the other senses just left out? Are the other senses just left out in this mystery?
No. No, we've talked about that. What you touch is what you have dominion over. What you eat is what gives you sustenance. What you drink is what gives you worth. And I'm not sure what smell is, but I'm sure it has something to do with the burnt offering and the peace offering, that it's a sweet aroma unto God, that you would smell the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
Where are we?
1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. It's automatic. Because he is love. And if he is your life, you'll automatically love everyone else who I mean, it's not a to-do, it's a what is, okay? By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, you know we have this problem in English. We've talked about it many times. the believe word is used for everything. Well, I believe in gravity, or I believe the light's on, or I believe Helen is sitting here. But that's not what the word believe means. To believe is 100% trust, 100% faith, 100% emptiness. It's not an intellectual thing. It's a spiritual.
How about I'll believe it when I see it?
But you'll never see it because you won't hear it.
I'll believe it when I hear it.
All right, I just wanted to throw that in there. So that's enough for that. It's not really about heard, but it's about seeing and hearing and all those things. Back to Luke, verse 22. No, verse 21. What happened to 21? I lost it. There, I found it. And when the 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We're going to spend probably the rest of the morning on what circumcision is. It's in Greek, the word is peritemno. And it just means to cut out or stop doing. As I've said often, it's used in classical Greek in the sense of stop doing something. It comes from a root word which means sharp or sharper. And so let's start looking at a few of those. Let's go to Hebrews 4. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest, a Sabbath is what it says, to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, or his Sabbath, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from him, from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, the example of unbelief was that everyone that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness, not having received the promise. The only two that entered the promised land were Caleb and Joshua. Of all of the, probably it was about 3 million people, including the mixed multitude. That's incredible. If that doesn't put the fear of God in you, nothing will. All right. But the next verse is what we're... Let us labor therefore to enter that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the word sharper there is the same word for circumcision. And what does that mean? The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what does that have to do with circumcision? Because it is that which circumcises your heart, so that then you, and your ears, so that you have ears to hear and that your heart is circumcised. Now that's in the law of Moses. That's in Leviticus 10. Well, let's go back further. Let's go back to the first the inception of let's go to Genesis 17.
Like it's sharp. Not that that's any great deal, what's great is that it exposes the most deep parts and tender places there are.
Right.
That God's Spirit can touch you.
But it's only the preaching of the cross that does it. Many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you again, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetites or their lusts, whose glory is in their shame, for they mind or give breath to earthly things. It's a big deal. Now, we're going to Genesis. I'm sorry, I got to the wrong place.
Genesis, you said?
Yeah. Genesis 17. This is where he's the promises to Abraham. He said, let's start in verse 8. And I'll give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. And I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generation. And this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every male child among you shall be circumcised. And you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt you and me. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money, or any stranger which is not of thy seed, etc., etc. Well, it says in verse 14, and the uncircumcised man, the man-child whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from the people. He hath broken my covenant. Well, that's a strange thing to do. But the law, even the law gives a hint of what the meaning of it is. So let's go to Deuteronomy 10. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, and to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heavens of heavens is the Lord's, is the Lord's thy God, and the earth also with all that is therein. Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked. Now, so again, here all of a sudden we have the circumcision of the heart. So the circumcision of the flesh was only a parable of this mystery.
This sounds like something Paul would say all of a sudden.
Oh yeah. Well, let's go to 1 Peter.
It's all the same word too, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's there's a Hebrew word which means the same thing, but while we're studying the New Testament. All right.
Well, there's something about this circumcising of foreskin in your heart that doesn't imply physical cutting.
Well, of course.
But I mean, that means something.
That's not... Right, that's what we're going to find out. Okay. First Peter.
First Peter?
Yeah. It might be Second Peter, but I think it's First Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure, not of the 8, but of the water, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what's the reason the foreskin of the male was chosen as the sign of the covenant? Was that represents the lust as a result of the fall to its extent, to its highest order. You accept that? Remember, in the Jewish in for Judaism, there were a lot of thou shalt nots, but there were no thou shalt do for the females.
There were no dues for the females?
No, it was only the nots. Because everything, that's all a type of the mystery of the bride. All the bride does is be at rest. You understand? So now let's go now to, there's a lot of them, but let's go to Romans 2.
Interesting God chose this delicate subject to make a token of the covenant.
And I believe it's because it typified the fruit of the fall. All right. In verse 25, Romans 2. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the whole law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, the circumcision is made uncircumcision. You understand what that means? You can go get circumcised, and if you work on the Sabbath, you're toast. Or if you think in your heart to lust after something you don't have, not just a woman or a man, but anything that you don't have, you're toast.
You've broken the covenant.
It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not then. Now watch. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward of the flesh, or in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I mean, if anybody really preached that scripture, our foreign policy would be a lot simpler. He is not a Jew, who is one outwardly, whose circumcision is of the flesh, but he is a Jew, who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart. Now, what is the test of whether or not the circumcision is of the heart? It's a simple statement here in Paul. Your praise is not of men. You neither fear what others think, or you neither go after anybody's praise. It's so simple. you're doing it.
It's liberty that is more than man can stand. Hmm. I think that's why he runs to law and everything. To...
Well, but people go to the law. They don't ever read the law. They just keep half of it or a little half scriptures.
They make up some law just as a cover.
Yeah. Yeah, the promise keepers. They couldn't keep the first 10, so they invented 7 others.
Yeah, but it's done because of this. Like I say, liberty is very almost dangerous.
Well, it costs you everything. It costs you your life. You can never be in control again.
Yeah, you need to pay in advance too.
But he is no fool who loses that which he never owned to gain that which he can never lose. All right, I'm checking something out. Oh yeah, let's go. Yeah, that's my. I love this scripture. Go to Jeremiah 2. Verse 32. Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy ways. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor, innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all thee. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy way?
Hi,
hey.
Sorry,
hey, Seth.
Come on in.
You can come in if you want. Come in and sit with Joysana.
Okay.
All right, see ya. Now here, just stop. Stop a minute. Just think of your life. Why gaddest thou about so much to change thy ways? I love that word, gaddest. It's like the great Gatsby gaddest. I have no idea. All right, let's go to Galatians 5.
Well, why do we get about the change of ways?
Because you
don't believe.
Don't believe. A General Electric Power Company. I get emails that say, "Thank you." Why do you keep saying that all the time? Because I'm an idiot, that's why.
Where are we going?
Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Now, this doesn't mean just having the foreskin. He's talking to males and females. If you be circumcised, if you continue to try stopping doing something and blah, 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 instead of faith, then Christ shall profit you nothing. Amen? For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are, justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Instead of gadding about to change yourself, instead of doing this, or if I do that, or if, man, if I can just get my daily to go this, if I can get my hair right, if I can color my beard, if I can do any of these things, if I can just get, change myself, then no, 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 you wait. And if you don't wait, you will never know that Jesus Christ is in you, and therefore you can never repent. You wait only on him. You're faithful of everything that's set before you. You don't go around thinking up things. You don't worry about changing yourself. You don't worry about somebody's opinion of you. You be instead of trying to be. Amen? I went on a rant, didn't I?
Will he color my beard if I wait?
Go to 6. We're in Galatians 6. Yeah. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. But as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Hallelujah. A new order, a new thing that has nothing to do with the human race. A mystery that is born from the New Jerusalem. Amen?
I'm trying to reconcile. We've talked about circumcision, the foreskin, the heart. But then when we got here to Paul, he's saying circumcision is worthless in a way. So I'm trying to reconcile. And the first way of talking about it is very important. It's a token of the covenant. Then it's worthless.
Well, it's also worthless. Right, it's worthless because that which it typified is come. Just like
the law
is worthless because he who the law pointed to has come. Israel is worthless because he who typified Israel is come. Excuse me. Helen is an architect. She builds a model. But when that which he finishes the thing, the model has no more value. Amen. Right away.
This last thing you read is the reason why churches are built. And you circumcise the flock to do and not do, and dance or don't.
Well, we do it in here, don't we? They constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You and I, we've all talked about this before. How many times in the last 35 years have you wanted me to be different?
How many times have you wanted me to not let my telephone ring? A lot.
Well, anyway, so they should...
Well, I like to talk about that.
All right, but you understand what that means.
Yeah.
They constrain you to be circumcised. They desire to make a fair show in the flesh... To make a fair show is, it's a word that's used for putting on makeup. You desire to make a fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Amen? Yeah, I come to the conclusion yesterday, John and I were at a meeting, and I'm not fit for public consumption.
You're just now finding that out. What revealed this to you?
I don't know. I just said it. In the meeting, I said it. And then John said, no, yeah, blah, blah, blah. That's enough. We will spend more time on circumcision. Anybody have any thoughts? Anybody understand better?
It's like all these things are just so little words in the book, and yet they have such far-reaching meaning. I mean, even your little statement, not good for public consumption, that's not a light statement.
But it's true.
Yeah, but it's true, and yet that's not bad. Were good, you would be watering down what you say so that you'd be acceptable, and it plays into circumcision.
That's why Paul said, we are made as the filth of the world. We're the offscouring of all things under this day. Then he said, be followers of me. But what do we do instead? We think we're going to do something and be something. Yeah, your faithful was set before you. Whatever's there, boom, boom, boom. You have no investment in the outcome. And that really drives people crazy. So you probably don't say that. Shouldn't say that too often.
They'll say something that would drive them crazy. Just not say that.
Take it, big guy.